Ramayana Act 2, Chapter 5, Rama Remains Firm. Scene 2, Bharata Finds Rama. When they reached the mountain, Bharata ordered a number of expert trekkers to go in search of Rama's heritage. He himself went ahead on horseback and began searching on foot. When he reached the dense forest on the mountainside, accompanied by Vasishta and other Brahmins, Bharata pressed ahead into the forest, anxious to see his brothers. He said to Vasishta, "Blessed is this mountain reach, O sage, where Ram and Sita now roam. How fortunate is Lakshman, who always beholds the moonlike face of Rama. I long to hold Rama's feet on my head. There will be no peace for me until I see him duly consecrated and seated upon Ayodhya's throne." Bharata climbed a tall tree and gazed all around. Upon seeing a column of smoke, he surmised it to be coming from Rama's hermitage. Rejoicing, he descended quickly and went in that direction. Confident that they were now close to Ram, he sent Vasishta back to bring the queens. Then, along with Shatrughna and Guha, he went as quickly as possible up the mountain slope. As they arrived at a plateau, they suddenly burst into a clearing, and there they saw, on a leveled piece of ground, Rama's hut. Ram and Lakshman were sitting in front of the leafy cottage. Bharata saw the sacrificial fire placed on an altar surrounded by blades of kusha grass. Hanging on the sides of the hut were two long bows plated with gold and shining like rainbows. Large quivers filled with fearful-looking arrows stood by the bows, along with two great shields adorned with gold engravings. A couple of swords hung by the bows, sheathed in silver and gold. When Bharata saw Ram dressed as an ascetic, with his hair matted, Bharata let out a cry and fell prostrate. Rising up again, he gazed with tearful eyes at his beloved brother, who appeared like Lord Brahma seated in his celestial assembly hall. Rama turned and smiled at Bharata, who along with Shatrughna was rushing towards him. Stumbling even as he ran over level ground, Bharata swiftly approached Ram and fell before him. In a choked voice, he began to lament. "Alas, here is my elder brother, who deserves to sit in a royal assembly, seated now in the company of deer. What a most cruel destiny! Here is that exalted soul who should wear garments worth many thousands instead of the barks of trees. And all this simply on my account? Woe to me, condemned by all the world." Sobs stifled Bharata's voice as he lay near Ram, his hands stretched toward his brother's feet. His face was covered with perspiration, and he called out, Oh, my brother, my noble brother. Shatrughna also shed tears and bowed before Ram. Ram and Lakshman quickly got up and tightly embraced both brothers. The four princes, coming together, appeared as if the sun and moon had conjoined with Venus and Jupiter in the heavens. Rama asked Bharata what had brought him all the way from Ayodhya. Surprised to see him with matted locks and wearing a deerskin also, Ram said, "Why have you come here without our father?" "Dearest brother, I hope all is well in Ayodhya. As long as father lives, you should surely wait upon him with great attention. Still, I am glad to see you here, although you do appear to be pale and emaciated. And why the ascetic dress, noble Bharata? I think your love for me must be very deep." Ram gently stroked Bharata's head. Looking up, he saw Guha standing at a distance with folded palms, and Rama smiled at him. Rama was fully absorbed in loving exchanges with his friends and relatives. Feeling pain and concern to see Bharata's condition, Ram continued to speak. "I hope you have not lost the kingdom due to immaturity and inexperience. Surely you know all the facets of diplomacy and kingly science, O powerful prince." By way of loving instruction, Rama asked after many aspects of the kingdom. He inquired if the people were properly protected, were the animals cared for, and was the army well maintained. And the Brahmins, were they being given sufficient charity? Bharata listened respectfully as his elder brother spoke. "I see here, O my mothers, indeed, it seems that the entire kingdom of Kosala has accompanied you, dear Bharata. But this gives rise to grave doubts within my mind. Please tell me why you have all arrived here today, for you have aroused my curiosity." Bharata knelt before Ram, clasping his feet. "Dear Rama, my brother, the act perpetrated by my mother was indeed wicked, but never approved by me. Casting you into the forest and afflicting the whole of Ayodhya with unbearable pain, she hoped to see me installed as king. But this will never happen. Please return now with us, O Raghav, and take your rightful position as the true ruler of this world. Be kind to me and to all these people, O tiger among men." Rama felt compassion for Bharata. He questioned him further. "What need is there for you adopting this mode of ascetic life, dear Bharata? The order of our father is that you become king. I too stand enjoined by our father to remain here in this forest. Our pious father's order is supreme. Therefore, without censuring your mother Kaikeyi, you should enjoy the kingdom. As for myself, I am happier staying here in obedience to our Father than I would be in attaining the imperishable abode of Lord Brahma. Bharata's head sank. He knew his elder brother's mind. It would be impossible to convince Ram to transgress an order given by his elders. Still, Bharata felt impelled to try. He could not possibly take the throne in place of his brother Ram. And with a heavy heart, he informed Ram what happened in Ayodhya while he was gone. While I was away in the Kekai kingdom, and you had already gone to the forest, our glorious Father ascended to heaven, thinking only of you and lost in grief at your separation. The king left his mortal body. Now, by the time-honored rule, you, as the elder son, should inherit the kingdom. There cannot be any doubt on this point. As he heard for the first time the news of his father's death, Rama felt as if his heart had been pierced. Raising his arms and crying out, he sank to the ground like a tree filled with blossoms cut at its root. He lay motionless with the color drained from his face. Bharata quickly sprinkled him with cool water. Then Rama sat up and held his head, wailing piteously. With my father dead and gone, what shall I do in Ayodhya? Alas, I am surely a wretched and useless son. My father died because of me, nor was I even able to cremate him. Even when the 14 years expires, I shall not have the courage to return to the city, seeing it desolate and bereft of its protector. Who will now speak those kind and loving words my father spoke whenever he saw me well behaved? Rama went over to Sita and Lakshman, who were seated nearby. Dear Sita, your father-in-law is no more. O Lakshman, you are now fatherless. Our brother brings the sorrowful news of the king's ascent to heaven. This world now stands without a ruler. Sita's eyes filled with tears as she was unable to look at her husband. Ram and Lakshman wept along with Sita as Bharat and Shatrughna comforted them. Ram controlled his feelings and then said, I must now perform the last sacred rites for the king. Let us go to the river. The four princes and Sita, stumbling due to grief, descended with difficulty to the riverbank. They were assisted by Sumantra and other ministers of the king, who stood watching. As Ram entered the water along with his brothers and Sita, Ram faced the southern quarter, over which Yamaraj presides, and held water in his cupped palms. He let the water trickle through his fingers and then said in a voice choked with emotion. May this sacred water reach you, O great tiger among kings. Let this offering serve you, dear father, for you have gone forever to the world of our forefathers. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.